Good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Thank you for tuning in. I will be continuing the series we've been on, the parenting challenges. Pastor Roja will be joining by phone as well, and we'll have an interesting discussion. Okay, so the previous editions are also on spiritissues.info, and in the Telegram group, you can also get them there. And first, we look at some of the news and the things happening in the world. We are in very interesting times. I look at the U.S. elections and the after effect of it. I saw one report today where a man killed himself. Okay, no, killed the girlfriend, killed two children, and then killed himself because he says he can't live under Trump. And I mean, under woman to kill the mother because Trump has won. You know, all sorts of bizarre behavior, and you look at the way the media landscape, you know, people are just, they just can't take it. I mean, those who are crying, those who are screaming, and it's as if demons are just, I mean, the demons have been unleashed in people. It's serious. But the bottom line is, it shows how this world is not as simple as we see it, you know, because clearly spiritual things are at stake. And there's one item, news item, that was quite fascinating, where witches say that their projections didn't work this year. And so, I mean, there was a lot of prayer this time around backing up the man. So it really disrupted the plans of the evil ones. Okay, so we get into some of the news and we look at the issues happening in the Middle East, and then quickly look at, you know, Russia, Ukraine war tools on. But today Zelensky said that with Trump coming, the war will end faster. And it's true. I mean, it's just one of your facts. If Trump becomes the president, when he becomes the president, rather, the war will end, because he is not going to support this unnecessary war that goes on and on. So new report reveals that Israel destroyed active nuclear weapons research facility in Iran. The Israeli attack on Iran in late October destroyed an active top secret nuclear weapons research facility in Pachin, according to three U.S. officials, one current Israeli official and one former Israeli official. The strike, which targeted a site previously reported to be inactive, significantly damaged Iran's effort over the past year to resume nuclear weapons research, Israeli and U.S. officials said. One former Israeli official briefed on the strike said it destroyed sophisticated equipment used to design the plastic explosives that surround uranium in nuclear device and are needed to detonate it. Iran has denied it is pursuing nuclear weapons. Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said in a statement last week that Iran is not after nuclear weapons, period. Are you sure? Okay, the incoming Trump administration will include several key national security and foreign policy officials who are hawkish on Iran, which could lead to increased U.S. pressure on the Islamic Republic. You know, when Israel did a surprise attack on Iran, it was like, nothing bad happened. Oh, it's just a minor things. Then I saw one report that said they've issued a police notice that anyone who sends pictures or takes pictures and sends to the Western media of the destruction that has happened, you can be jailed for up to 10 years. I said, whoa. If it's a minor something, then why are you concerned about pictures going out that showcases the destruction? Then I realized another thing, that it has caused significant harm. And so now the reports are coming due to satellite imagery and all that's being used, and they've caused a lot of harm. And well, we guess see how things go. North Korea has just moved the world a step closer to global war. It has been revealed that they've sent 12,000 troops, and they are planning to have 12,000 troops to be sent to Ukraine to fight on behalf of Russia. Now they are reported to have been deployed to Kursk as part of the Russian counteroffensive, while Pyongyang this week ratified a landmark new defense pact with Moscow. The reaction to these developments have been mixed. There are already indications that North Korea has provided significant material to Russia's war effort, including 8 million rounds of 122mm and 152mm ammunition and a number of ballistic missiles, according to figures from CSIS. Okay, so that's the Russia-Ukraine war as well. Now we go to UK, where we have British primary school cuts Christmas references out of holiday show for more inclusive production. So a British primary school has stirred up heated debates after announcing it will exclude all Christmas references from its upcoming production of Jack in the Beanstalk to ensure a more inclusive event. Now, Christmas Day, what has it got to do with Jack and the Beanstalk? Yeah, I mean, if you just don't want to do anything Christ, so then so where well primary school located in Andover informed parents of its 126 pupils that traditional holiday themed elements including Christmas songs will be removed from the performance, according to Daily Mail. The decision was outlined in a letter from head teacher Mandy Ovenden to the parents, who explained that it's a festive season, but then it was not specifically a Christmas event, the program. So, you know, in order for it to be enjoyed by everyone, the letters read that we have made changes to remove Christmas songs and references. He further went on to assure parents that the school would continue to celebrate Christmas with other events later in the term. And after Christmas is gone, oh, you know, you see, the hatred for anything Christ, sometimes, you know, when you read some of the things, you just realize the society this world has created for itself, the anti-God, anti-Christ hatred. It makes people behave and act in ways that makes you wonder. Interesting. Okay, so we have politician on trial for sharing Bible verse and Christian views refuses to back down. I've read this news a number of years in recent times, for those who have followed. But the case doesn't want to die, you know. A member of the Finland's parliament who has faced years-long legal battle after sharing a Bible verse on social media refuses to back down from her freedom fight. Päivi Räsänen told Higher Ground with Billy Hallowell. Her legal battle began more than 5 years ago when she challenged Finland's main religious body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church, questioning why it had decided to support financially and publicly a local LGBT pride parade. Sorry, dear. What have you got to do with LGBT pride parade? I mean, sometimes... It was a disappointment and even shock to me and many others, she said. Many of my friends decided to resign the church, and I was also praying, what should I do now? I was very worried about this very public statement of the leadership of the church, because I was worried that it would undermine people's trust on the Bible and its authenticity and authority. Räsänen decided to take to X, then Twitter, to share text from Romans 1, where the Apostle Paul addresses sexual ethics. She added a question to church leadership about their position supporting LGBT pride. Quote, after that, some citizens made a criminal complaint and the police started to investigate the case, unquote. Räsänen continued, at the beginning, I didn't believe it. I just read it from the newspaper that police had started to investigate the case, and I phoned a policeman and he said, yes, we are investigating it. Then more criminal complaints emerged, with one old pamphlet she wrote about marriage also catching negative attention, plus a radio program she appeared on came to the crosshairs. I was interrogated in the police station altogether 13 hours about very theological issues, biblical issues as well. Rasnin said, police were asking me, what is the main message of the Book of Romans? And so on. And she said she has always affirmed people are equal and all people are valuable, created by God in his image. Ultimately, though, she found herself facing two separate legal battles, both of which she won. Yet, even after Rasnin was acquitted, prosecutors decided to appeal and take her case to Finland's Supreme Court, something she said was unbelievable. Regardless of the international nature of Rasnin's story and the chaos surrounding it, she is not willing to back down because the stakes are high. I think it will be very, very dangerous. I think it would have, sorry, very, very dangerous consequences, because I would even say that it will start the time of persecution of Christians in Finland and in European countries, Rasnin said of a potential loss at the High Court, because then it would mean that you are not anymore allowed to agree publicly in the Bible, with the Bible, sorry. She continued, I think that the most dangerous consequence and punishment will be the ban to my writings, in the order to take away my Twitter postings and my book. And it would not be only a punishment against me, it would be against thousands and thousands of Christians who have published similar opinions and statements. Rasnin said the case hasn't been easy to fight, but she's committed to continuing to take a stand for her faith. Regardless of what unfolds, she said the entire ordeal is in God's hands. This has been my calling, she said. This process has given so many chances to me in public to testify about the gospel, about Jesus, who is the solution to the problem of sin. You know, her case is interesting because we are looking at a Christian politician, an MP, and it's like the case just, the prosecutor just doesn't want the case to end. But well, let's see what happens at the Supreme Court there. I think prayers are needed to help her through these times of challenge and persecution. There's this last item, news item, and it's very interesting. It's a report, so let me just proceed with it. It says, scripture-engaged adults have lower levels of loneliness than Bible-disengaged, according to the study. And I believe it will apply to teenagers and children as well. I mean, scripture is scripture. So, Americans with stronger spiritual lives and those who more commonly offer forgiveness experience less loneliness than those who are less engaged with the Bible or churches, and those or Bible or churches, and those who don't commonly forgive others, a new survey suggests. So the American Bible Society released the 8th chapter of its State of the Bible USA 2024 report on Thursday, focusing on loneliness. The research, based on 2,506 responses collected from American adults from January 4th to 23rd, 2024, examined the relationship between the respondents' levels of religiosity and how frequently they experience loneliness. The margin of error for the sample is 2.73 percentage points. The data suggests that nearly 3 out of 4 Americans report moderate to high levels of loneliness, with other 1/3 of Gen Z women ages 18 to 27 experiencing high levels of loneliness. In our surveys, we've seen many ways that Americans benefit from Bible engagement, and we suspect that it might also help them feel less lonely. So we are testing a hypothesis, a report reads. If the nation is indeed experiencing an epidemic of loneliness, what happens when people from a meaningful relationship with the God they meet in scripture? So among the Bible disengaged, defined as those who score less than 70 on the scripture engagement scale that measures the impact and certainty of the Bible on people's lives based on their responses to a series of questions, 22% reported high levels of loneliness, whilst 52% experienced moderate loneliness. Among the movable medal, those who score between 70 and 99 on the scripture engagement scale, 59% reported high levels of loneliness and 70% experienced moderate loneliness. By contrast, a significantly smaller share of the scripture engaged respondents with scripture engagement scores of 100 or higher reported high, that's 11%, and moderate 50% levels of loneliness. The percentage of scripture engaged respondents experiencing low loneliness, 38%, was much higher than 25% of both the movable medal and the Bible disengaged, who said the same. The study adopted 5 questions from the UCLA Loneliness Scale, which asks people how frequently they experience certain emotions. An answer of 1 was given if respondents never experience an emotion, and a 4 was given if they often experienced it. The maximum possible score of the UCLA Loneliness Scale is 20, while the minimum is 5. Across 3 or 4 generations examined, the scripture engaged had lower average loneliness scores than their counterparts in the movable medal and then the Bible disengaged categories. Among Gen Z, the youngest group of American adults born 1997 or later, the scripture engaged had an average loneliness score of 11.3, lower than the average scores of the movable medal 12.4 and the Bible disengaged 13.4 in their age group. Among the millennials born 1981 and 1996, a similar pattern emerged. The scripture engaged had an average loneliness score of 10.1, whilst the movable medal recorded an average loneliness score of 12.3, and the Bible disengaged had an average score of 13.0. Among Gen X, that's Generation X, born between 1965 and 1980, the average loneliness score was measured at 11.1 among the scripture engaged, 12.3 among the movable medal, and Bible disengaged as well. Only among the baby boomers and elder generations, encompassing those born 1964 or earlier, did the Bible disengaged have a lower average loneliness score, 10.5, than their scripture engaged counterparts, 10.6. Among the oldest group of American adults, the movable medal and the highest average loneliness score was 11.4. The information sets an agenda for anyone connected to Christian ministry. Indeed, for any Christian who cares about young adults, the report stresses, well, over a third of Gen Z women indicates that they are highly lonely. They say no one understands them, that people around them, but not with them. So God frequently says, I am with you. He knows us better than we know ourselves and still loves us. Psalm 68 verse 6 has a wonderful phrase that applies here. You find families for those who are lonely. And then it also goes on, perhaps God can use us to do that, becoming families for lonely people around us. Looking at the lonely levels of loneliness based on church attendance, the data suggests those who never attend church had the highest incidence of high loneliness, 25%, followed by those who had not been to church in at least a month but had gone within the past year, 20%, those who last went to church over a year ago, 16%, respondents who last went to church within the past month, 15%, and those who attend weekly, 12%. Conversely, those who go to church weekly score the highest levels of low loneliness, 33%, followed by respondents who last went to church within the past month, 32%, those who last went to church more than a month ago but had gone in the last year, 27%, respondents who had not attended church in at least a year, 26%, and those who never go to church, 24%. The research also found a relationship between the individual's ability to forgive and their levels of loneliness. 66% of those who identify as strongly unable to forgive experience high loneliness, followed by 43% who reported moderate loneliness and 21% who reported low loneliness. Among those who consider themselves somewhat unable to forgive, 22% reported high loneliness, 57% experienced moderate loneliness, and 21% experienced low loneliness. 16% of those who characterize themselves as somewhat able to forgive reported high loneliness, along with 56% who experienced moderate loneliness and 28% who felt low loneliness. Those who consider themselves strongly able to forgive had the lowest share reporting high loneliness, 16%, and the highest percentage experiencing low loneliness, 35%, with the rest experiencing moderate loneliness. Some experts blame social media for forecasting shallow connections that replace deep friendships. Our own research indicates that an inability to forgive could greatly increase levels of loneliness. American Bible Society's chief innovation officer, John Fraguha Blake, said in a statement, "Regardless of the cause, the need is urgent. Churches should respond with care and creativity, offering a safe space to develop meaningful Christian relationships." The chapter examined loneliness levels of respondents' commitment to Christ. Among those who are non-Christians and are currently not interested in exploring what it means to be a Christian, 26% reported low levels of loneliness, while 22% experienced high levels of loneliness. The high loneliness share was measured at 42% among non-Christians who are starting to explore what it means to be a Christian, while the low loneliness percentage was pegged at 10%. 25% of Christians who do not consider their faith as significant in their life and had low loneliness, while 17% experience high loneliness. Among those who believe in God but have not yet committed to a relationship with Jesus Christ, 20% experienced low loneliness, whilst 26% reported high loneliness. High levels of low loneliness were measured among those who have committed to a relationship with Christ. That's 27%. Those who have a solid relationship with Christ, that makes a difference in their lives, 30%. Respondents who have an intimate relationship with Christ, that influences their daily lives, 42%. And those who identify their relationship with Christ as the most important one in their lives, 32%. The study comes after the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek H. Murphy issued an 81-page advisory report last year titled "Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation." The report warned that the lack of social connection poses a significant risk for individual health and longevity. The document warns that loneliness can increase the risk of premature death as much as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Loneliness, the lack of social connection, are associated with higher risk of heart disease, stroke, anxiety, depression, and dementia. Wow, that's an interesting statistics there. And it's obvious. I mean, there's a spiritual connection to all these things, the Word of God, church attendance, forgiveness. These are all principles in the Word of God. Is it so? It's not far-fetched, or it's not surprising when there's science backing these things to confirm that indeed, yes, if you don't forgive, all these things, the consequences, the bitterness, the hatred, the anger, it affects your health, it affects your mood, all these things. So it's a whole, I mean, the report really gives an insight. This afternoon I was talking with Pastor Roger, we were discussing this, I was telling him about this report, and we were talking about the fact that the church is missing something. The world has shifted into a point where churches should do well to be able to understand what is happening, to use it to implement things. This statistics, for instance, is something that pastors should, if a pastor has this data, it can guide you to be able to know how to approach the youth in planning things for them. You can understand them better in how they are behaving and their mood and the attitude to church attendance and programs and all. You see, because something is happening. It's not Ghana. It's a global, I mean, it's a worldwide issue. Some attribute it to, you know, COVID. And indeed, post-COVID is where a lot of the issues has worsened. But aside COVID, and we didn't experience the streams of it in terms of the lockdowns, like it was in UK and other countries where the lockdowns also has created a whole social issue. of depression and this loneliness and all. So they have a set of values or challenges to that contributes to it or contributed to it. But largely, there's a general one that cuts across, you know, social media cuts across the world. So it's happening in the US, it's happening in Ghana, it's happening in the UK, where it's the same social media. So these are other challenging things. The consequences are also causing all these loneliness issues for the youth and the teens and all. And ultimately, you realize that parents also have a role to play. And in terms of parenting, that's why we are doing a program like this where we'll be talking about it. But I'll be back after a short break.
Keep you and give you peace. Enjoy the Sunday afternoon. You're dismissed.
Wasn't that a great sermon?
Yeah, come on, let's go.
No, there's the Johnsons. Let's see how they're doing.
No, let's go.
Why? Are we doing something this afternoon?
I just want to hear a sermon and go home. If we hang around here too long, then somebody might ask us to do something.
Is that so bad?
I don't want to spend all day at church. I came, I listened, I sang. Now, come on, let's go.
Dear, we are part of this body of believers. We should be doing something.
Can't we be a part of the body, but not a functioning part of the body?
You mean like dandruff?
Yeah, no.
Look, I just want to ask John if he found a job yet.
John's out of work?
Yeah, the last 4 months. He told me at the men's breakfast last week.
How's Sarah taking it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I should talk to her.
I thought we just wanted to go home.
How can you think of bolting out of here when people need to be encouraged?
I didn't.
Sometimes you just don't think.
Me?
Oh, shush.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can. When we truly
Hey, neighbor. Beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about this fence. Remember, we both agreed to pay half.
Bob, instead of reimbursing you, I've decided to become a really good person.
What?
Hey, what's better, getting paid for half a fence or living next door to a great neighbor?
But we had an agreement, and you're not paying me. That's a bad thing.
But I don't do bad things. I'm a good person. Why, I've been doing nothing but good things for a whole year. In fact, the most recent polls show that 99 out of 100 people like me. Doesn't that prove I'm good?
Look, if you're not going to pay me, you could at least admit you wronged me. I'm willing to forgive you, but help me here.
Why do I need your forgiveness? Everybody loves me.
Well, 99 out of 100 anyway.
The Bible declares that because we have sinned, we have wronged God, and any attempt at us being good is fruitless until we first ask God for His forgiveness. Have you asked? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM in Kumasi, and greetings to our listeners outside online as well. All right, so Pastor Roger will be joining soon by phone, and we'll be talking soon. We've been looking at parenting, some of the challenges. We started looking from Joseph in Genesis, and we went on to Deuteronomy. We've gotten to Judges chapter 2. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord gave explicit instruction as to how they should train the children and the word of God and all. Sadly, we get to Judges chapter 2, and the generation after Joshua, I mean, it's so sad. That aspect is just amazing. Let me just read it. Judges 2, and so Judges 2:10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. That's 2:10, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. I mean, clearly this is parental failure. The parents failed to pass on. You see, God instructed them. They should teach. Deuteronomy 6 has the full instruction how to teach the word, how to show the word as they lie down, as they walk in the way. I mean, it's so instructive how God give explicit instructions. Failure to do it is what we see in Judges chapter 2, where a generation just after, I mean, we are not looking at some decades later type of generation thing. Hello.
Good evening. Good evening to
you. Yes, so I was just summarizing briefly how a generation arose in Judges 2, a generation just after Joshua and his group dies, and this generation did not know what the Lord has done, nor His word. And that's the sad part of how failure to push the word in the home can result in a generation that will rise up one day and say that, who is that God that we should serve? Who is that God that we should bow to Him? Who is that God that we should go to church on Sunday? This is the danger this generation faces if we don't find means to entrench the word of God in our homes, because the way the generation is going, it's serious. The future looks bleak to some extent, if we are being objective. So looking at that, and then we're looking at the news I read about the statistics, the report about the loneliness, the relation to the word of God, relation to church attendance, and its relation to forgiveness. Actually, it's a very serious statistics, because you see the connection that each of these also has with the human behavior, lifestyle, and all. So it's not surprising if the consequences of these three actions result in the type of numbers that came up in the statistics. So let's start from there.
Okay, thank you. I want us to look at this from this perspective. When we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Yeah.
It talks about when we sleep, when we wake, that when we walk with them, and the rest. It never, so it was, the word of God was more of like a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Where the child brings his view, the parents will talk and tell them what God has been doing for them, tell him what he knows about God. So, unfortunately, in our generation, it is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us force our children to go to church. And it is not... I remember when I was young, I joined a certain denomination because any time I go, I have some spare money to go and eat wake. So that was my reason for going to church. So it is time we teach them about Jesus. The scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, talk to them about God. But don't force feed them about the gospel. When you force a child to eat, he gets to a point, he gets choked.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us are choking our children with the word of God. If you don't read, you don't eat. If you don't do this, so it is like it's some force they say. But we have to get to a point where the word of God is taught in a relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah.
In a relaxed manner. So when you look at the correlation between Deuteronomy 6 and then the Judges 22 that we look at. The Judges 2:10. The Judges 2:10 that we look at.
Yeah.
Then you will see that in what manner was the word being transmitted to them?
Mm-hmm.
The transmission mode is a serious mode because we are coming to look at the statistics, where from the statistics, those who know God, their depression level is low, and the rest. But we are talking about those who know God, that is, have a real one-on-one with God, understands why he has to worship God, understands why he or she needs to read his Bible. Maybe some of these points will be entering into the Eli and his children. But you see, we need, in so doing, our children, what our children form is they form their own biblical view of who God is,
mm-hmm.
or who Jesus is. So when the scripture says that, and also all that generation were gathered in, and they arose a generation after them which knew not the Lord.
Yeah.
That which knew not the Lord, it gives us a sense that what was their view of who God was. Because I remember one of the weeks we talked about, they did not know God, but they knew the boss.
Yeah.
And it comes from the view. What was the view? Do we release our children to have their own view and try to shape that view about who God is? Because as parents, we don't know everything about God. Mm-hmm. We are also trying to know God day in, day out. Is that not so?
Yeah.
So the little we know about God, that is what we also impart onto our children. So when we need them to explore who God is, then they will come to know God personally and better. I believe if you pick Samuel and Hannah, Samuel had his own way of getting to know who God was. Mm-hmm. And when he got to know who God was, it was difficult for the world then to change his view. So before I came online, I was talking to one of my children and I asked him, what is the appearance of Jesus? And I told him I'll use it. Then he said, his face is shining like the sun. He has glowing hair. And then I asked him, oh, okay, that is when Jesus has God. I'm talking of Jesus as man. He said, oh, Jesus as man, he was a prophet. I said, yes, you are right. Jesus as man, he was a prophet. But if you are looking for Jesus among people, where will you see Jesus? Or how will you see Jesus? So, even it gets to a point, our children do not even know the appearance of who Jesus was as a man. Because we have forced them to have some denominational or cultural views that this is how Jesus looked like, from the pictures and everything.
Yeah.
And therefore, when things come, they are not able to now join one dot to the other. So I just brought a scripture up and asked him to consider when Judas Iscariot sold Jesus for the coins. If Jesus was that standout man, how come Judas Iscariot went to kill Jesus to identify him to the people? He said, yeah, daddy, you are right. And I said, yes. So, you see, that creates a relationship with the person.
Yeah.
And so I believe when scripture says, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works he had done for Israel. That means the parents virtually did zero.
Sado. Very serious.
They virtually did zero. Today we will say, oh, me de na kwa sorry.
Sunday
school. Maybe I'll kwa sorry. We'll be on Sunday school. But if you leave the child for 3 years, can the child reflect Sunday school? When you leave the Bible down and you leave the child, do you think for 1 month the child will say, let me read the Bible? So these are some of the things as we look at it. Because most of us are teaching our children about church order. This is how my church is. So the child is more about the church, but not about God.
Yeah, awesome.
So most of our children know church. They don't know God. They know denomination, but they don't know God. And it is two different things. Because if you pick Deuteronomy chapter 6, what you were to tell the child, talk to them about God. As we say, talk to them about God. It was not talk to them about how the African worship God. Talk to them about how Pentecost worship God. Talk to them about how assemblies worship God. But just talk to them about God.
Yeah.
So that when they open the Bible, they can also look for the God of the Bible. But today, our children, most of our children, do not know the God of the Bible. But they know the church. They know the church. And that is why when the challenges come, the depression begins.
Yeah.
This is where the depression begins. Because when Jesus spoke about the building on the rock, the building in the sand, he made us to understand that the storms will blow. Or the storms will come. So when we talk about challenges, it's a normal thing of a person.
Yeah.
So if challenges come and you tell me I was going to church, and now I am depressed. Then there is an issue. Mm-hmm. Then when we also come to church, even as youth and things, as preachers, what do we also preach to them? Do we preach to them our escapades? Or we preach to them the God of the Bible? Yes, I'm a pastor, but we have to bring all these things out. Mm-hmm. What do we also preach to them? Is it, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. Yes, you may have done this, you may have done that. It is good. But how do you let the member connect to God? That when there is an issue, when there is pressure, he will know that God will take me through.
Yeah.
As we were discussing this afternoon, I remember I used Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm.
David said, he restored my soul. He said that before he came to, where do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will not fear.
Fear no evil.
Any evil. Yes, I will not fear no evil. He restores my soul. So as pastors, every Sunday, do we restore? Are we able to help the member to restore his soul? As parents, the little we know of God, how do we transfer or transmit it to our children? Because remember that when issues come, this internet thing we are talking about, does it affect the body? Or it affects the emotion?
Yeah.
It does not affect the body. It affects the emotion. That means it affects the soul. So David could say in Psalm 43 verse 5 that, why is my soul downcast?
Yeah.
Put your trust in God. So he realized that the things he was going through, it was affecting him more. It was affecting him internally,
yeah,
than outwardly. It affects internally before. So sometimes, by the time you see the outward appearance of the person and you say, the guy looks pale, the guy looks thin, it looks like the guy is going through something. Maybe he has gone through like 5 months,
yeah,
before showing on the skin.
Yeah.
But what if the person is a type of person who it does not show out?
Yeah.
So the issue has to do with the soul. But can we come to a point where the one who reads the Bible, the child who the father has been talking to, or the parents have been talking to, can know that he restores my soul. So even though I go through this, I'll come out on scratch. These are some of them. Because for these challenges, they are coming.
Mm-hmm.
They will come. They will not stop. How do we equip ourselves? Everything is with God. Everything is in the Word of God. So if you look at in that same book of Judges, anytime anyone like Gideon, when he met the angel, what did he say to the angel? We heard.
Yeah.
We heard. We heard. We heard. He heard that it was history. It was storybook. Hmm. It was storybook. Why would he say he heard? Because at that time, the word of God, even the one that Gideon knew, was sugar-coated to him. So he only heard something.
Yeah.
He only heard something. But you see, the more we read scriptures, the more we see that we come to understand that it is more real. But you see, you come to know many issues, many cases, and then you see that, he can restore mine. Mm. Then you come to that conclusion, he can restore mine. It is the conclusion you come to that makes God real to you.
Yeah.
It is not just about hearing God, about God, but it is the conclusion you come to. Because in a situation, you must draw your own conclusion.
Yeah.
Somebody must not draw that conclusion for you. And when someone draws conclusion for you, what will it be to you? Because your situation will be different from mine. Mine will be different from yours. So as parents, the little we know about God, let us pass it on to them.
Yeah.
And let's lead them to explore who God is. Because as they explore who God is, they may even come to have a better knowledge about God than us.
Yeah, communication is critical.
If you look at the Gideon incident, after he meeting the angel and giving him a sacrifice, have you realized that Gideon was the same person who went to his father's house to break down the idols?
Mm.
Why? Now he had a better understanding about God. Now he knows that the God we had is strong with us. So most of us, we have given our children stories. Because number one, you, the parent, you don't even have a good relationship with God. So you have turned God to become my book of Bible stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we only give the stories out. What, when issues arise, why would our children not be depressed?
The connection to the reality becomes a challenge.
That is it.
No, there should be a remodeling of how Sunday school for children is done. You know, the Bible stories, yes, is the word of God. But how well are the stories being connected to modern times? You see, this is where the missing link is in most cases. Because, yes, if you hear about Noah, yes, you've been told the history aspects. Yes, this is what God did and all that. But when the child is seeing a similar situation like Noah's own, where you are being ridiculed in school, you are the only one doing what is right, and everybody is laughing at you, can you endure like Noah endured? The scenarios of how to practicalize what happened in the Word of God into your life, this is where Sunday school or teaching children should be looking at. Because else it's just a history thing. You just tell the children, God did that, God did that. Fine. But then how do they experience that as well today? How do they go through? You see, so the Word of God should be more practical in the life of the child. That is only when they will enjoy it. Else, if we stick to just the history aspect of it, God did this, the history, and just it becomes just like stories. So to some children, what they hear in the stories, the Word of God, Sunday school stories, to them, it's not too different from Aladdin and Gulliver's Travels. I mean, it's just stories that they are being told. Just that this one is being told on Sundays. That's the only difference for some children. You see, so I believe we need to address these issues holistically. Where parents, and you should start from the home. I mean, we are not saying this to absolve the parents that Sunday school should be the one. Parents should also review how the Word of God is discussed at home with the children, practicalizing the issues to modern day life. For instance, if in the case of like Joseph, as we treated the first case, I mean, the series, Joseph scenarios are happening all over these days where children or teenagers or people have to stand against the pressures of the system. Everybody is expecting you to do this. You are being tempted. You have been tried. I mean, all sorts of persecutions. But can you stand like Joseph did? Then the various examples of potential cases of how the temptations can come. You see, and I believe it's as we do these things, then we can have children who love the Word of God, because then they can see it reflecting in their lives. Then it becomes meaningful.
So as we're talking about the application aspect. So we have to stop the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
The storytelling is good, but we have to go beyond the storytelling.
Yeah.
Because the storytelling needs them to only have Bible knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And BK is an examinable paper, so they can use it to write exam. But we're talking about the application aspect. How can they apply it into our life, yeah, into their life? And when the parent is finding it difficult to apply the word of God in his life, can he be seen to the child?
Yeah.
Most of our, when we come to the church, most of our children's Sunday school books, how are they written? They are written as their storybooks.
Yeah, there's no application because aspect of it in most cases.
Because, yeah, because the children's department, we don't see any big offense coming from there. So it is not something to spend time looking at.
As same way.
But as we look at all these things, we realize that if we want to build a society where precious will come, precious will go, I will be able to stand, then we need to have a real look at how we study the word, how we speak the word to our children, or how we portray the word to our children, not in our culture, not in our biblical view, not in our denominational view, but we leave the children to ask questions about the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, mommy, if it happens that Isaac should have blessed Esau, what would have happened? Let's go to the Bible and check for ourselves. What would have happened? But we shouldn't tell them this question is not in the Bible, so don't bring it. Meanwhile, that is what the child is teaching.
Yeah.
That is why the child is bringing that. Yeah, you understand? So we want to only limit them to a room-like experience. But they also go into a world-like experience.
They are thinking outside the box.
That is it.
And our questions are only in the box. So the problem is we are stuck in the box.
So when they move beyond the box, then we say, Akolano, I'm seeing an asset. One of one point.
Oh, Roger, and as I said, we have to end it here so soon. It's almost up. Yeah, so thank you for joining us this evening. Okay, so God willing, next week we'll be continuing this series as well. Thanks for tuning in, and I believe parents are taking some notes and learning, and let's see how we apply these things in our families and as much as we can to the children that we have around us as well. So good night, and God bless you. You can listen to it. The recorded ones will be on spiritissues.info and in the Telegram WhatsApp group. Look for Spirit Issues and then you can have them there as well. Thank you. I'm Eben. Good night.
You're listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian hit music.